Good evening and welcome to the Aurora Grandy City Council meeting for Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Burnage?
Yes.
Councilmember Harmon is absent tonight. Mayor Pro Tem Ray?
Here.
And Mayor Hill?
Here. Please join us in a moment of reflection. Thank you. This evening for the flag salute, we have our friends from Aurora Grandy and Bloom, and specifically Mr. Bob Lund. If everyone would please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. And Bob, please tell us a little bit about what's going on with Aurora Grandy and Bloom.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and council members, and staff members. Thank you for inviting me. Two and a half weeks ago, we came back from Lexington, Kentucky, where we held the American Bloom Symposium this year. And I'm happy to say that Aurora Grandy and Bloom, in its 12th year, won out against three other communities, who are participating in the Community of Champions category. This is a group that was started about 7 years ago, where our cities had won so many awards, they took them out of the population categories and put them into a special categories
so that just the best of the best could compete with each other. But this is the last year that there will be a Circle of Champions award. They decided to curtain it this year. So anyhow, we went out about against some of the best of the best. So our plaque this year is one that celebrates our heritage, which we're very proud of. They also changed the rating system this year from a bloom category to stars. So instead of 5 blooms, you get rated up to 10 stars. Now I have to tell you, nobody gets 100%, so nobody gets 10 stars. But we got 8, which is, I think, especially significant. Thank you. One of the things we do when the judges from American Bloom come to our city for 2 days to evaluate us is produce what's called a community profile. One of the judges that judged us this year has been judging for 15 years, and he said this is the best community profile he has ever seen. And I want to tell you, you can access this on our website, aurograndyandbloom.org, and just check out our community profile because it talks about our city, our heritage, our regulations, and it talks about the areas in which we're evaluated: floral displays, landscaping, urban forestry, environmental effort, heritage, community vitality, overall impression, and best idea. So we're very proud of this. And if I could just read a bit from the press release, all the participants were evaluated on the 7 criteria I just mentioned. American Bloom is the only national awards program that sends specially trained judges to personally visit participants. In addition, each participant receives a detailed written evaluation that can be used as a guide to future improvements. So this is our 12th year of participation, and we're very proud to be beautifying Aurora Grandy. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Okay, moving on then to agenda review. We have no closed session announcements. We'll move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be
second.
Waived. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Does anyone like to change anything on the order of agenda?
No, thank you.
Okay. And this evening we have a special presentation, which will be introduction of a new employee, John Benedetti, our new assistant engineer, Director McClish.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. I am here this evening, once again, very, very pleased. We have with us a new employee behind me here, John Benedetti, assistant engineer, and a very crucial, important vacancy filled in the city. John grew up in Santa Maria, and at the age of 17, he joined the United States Marine Corps. In the Marine Corps, he served 3 years in Okinawa, Japan as an aviation ordnance man. Upon exiting the service, John attended Allen Hancock College part-time. He transferred to Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, and graduated with a degree in environmental engineering in 2013. In 2014, his son Aiden was born, and John began working at ATC Associates, a national environmental and engineering firm with a branch in San Luis Obispo. When John was growing up, his father was on the Planning Commission in Santa Maria for 15 years. All of John's life, his father has been involved as a treasurer for election campaigns at various levels of government, and well as with numerous civic organizations, and witnessing the Central Coast grow from first moving to the Central Coast in 1982 to today has spurred John's interest in municipal civil engineering. This July, John married his fiancée, Catherine, and he is now has an amazing stepson and daughter, Sean and Iris. John is the assistant coach for Aiden's soccer team and spends most of his free time with his family. And I'm very pleased again to introduce John to the community.
Welcome, John.
Welcome aboard.
Boy, do we need you. Glad to have you.
I bet.
I think it's called hitting the ground running. Thank you. Brings us to item 7, which is community comments and suggestions. Any member of the public is welcome to come up and discuss anything within the purview of the council that is not on the agenda this evening. For those items that are on the agenda this evening, we'll have an opportunity to comment before the council takes up each of those items. So if you'd like to address us on something that's not on the agenda this evening, please feel free to come up.
Good evening, Mayor, council persons, staff. I'd like to offer an invocation in the words of Monsignor Rossetti. God, good and gracious God, you taught us what it was like to love, your means to love our neighbor. May we look upward at all of those we meet today. Beloved brothers and sisters, may we treat others as we would treat you, with respect and with love. May our words be soft and our faces kind. May peace reign in our hearts, overflow throughout this place, and make it holy. We pray this in thy sacred name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Linda has her. Yes. It's just a red button.
Again, sorry, guys. Okay. Don't start yet. Are you ready? All right. Hi. Hello, Mayor, council members, and staff. I'm here again to talk about the development on the corner of Cortland and Grand and how it impacts or will impact the Berry Gardens neighborhood. We're talking about this area in here. Well, let me see. Which is Grand? There's Grand. So we're looking at this area in here that's being developed. And there, this Grand Avenue is more than currently is quite busy and congested, and it, especially during times where you have fifth wheelers and all the traffic backs up from Cortland to Oak Park, and there's no way to get in here. So when you're going to have there's an ingress and an egress here, I'm proposing that exit traffic be let out here, and the inbound come in closer to Cortland because the traffic's so bad. And there's no option for people who are leaving that point to go back onto Grand to get down towards the beach or to even go up here to Oak Park. So that means that the traffic is going to go down here, and the only opportunity, they're going to go down Blackberry, which has six houses here, and then here's Cranberry, and here's Seabright, and then get back onto Oak Park. So they're going a real roundabout way to go back this way. I propose that we look at this, and it's less expensive now than it's going to be in the future, to do something. Open up the median to allow for traffic, because everywhere else that you have a commercial development here, they are able to go into the medium and cross over. So people going this way can cross over, and people coming this way, it'll be better for that commercial property. It's better for the development of Berry Gardens, so you're not having traffic go all the way through here. And Blackberry right now has a lot of traffic, unlike what my neighbor says. He's part of the problem. He comes in and he drives as soon as he sees me. He's going 60 miles an hour just to piss me off. And he's going two houses from me. So I really suggest that we do something now to make it available for better traffic control in here, because this is going to bring more traffic and it's just going to shoot it down here, which makes no sense. You know, it doesn't make any sense at all. So I really hope that we can do something and work out some kind of program now instead of later, because it's just going to cost us more in the long run. And there's people here, and the traffic goes very fast down Blackberry, seriously, and both ways. So if we can work out some kind of a thing to keep this off of here, that would be great. And it's only going to get worse, and it's already gotten worse in the 4 years I've lived there. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you for your comment.
Here's your
Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Casey Johnston. I'm the property owner of 127 South Elm. We purchased that property in late July. We immediately went underway of trying to clean up that building and get rid of the old thrift shop that was there to put my wife's new salon in. We also have plans to put a laundromat in the back. We cleaned up the building. On October 1st, we opened the doors for her new salon. She's already been in business in the city of Rio Grande for 16 years at a different address. So we relocated her business over to there. On October 1st, I also went into the city to talk to them about the new construction of the laundromat. They asked me to turn in a set of as-built plans for what we did in her hair salon area in the front section. Nothing structural, all cosmetic, interior, demising walls, stuff like that. Mostly cosmetic, exterior. I don't know if you guys have seen it. But several days later, Jonathan Hurst shows up with three officers and red tagged the building, kicked the women out of there, and the women have now been out of business for 19 days. We've been trying to get a set of plans through the city, try to get a temporary use permit, trying to get a conditional use permit, trying to do whatever we can to abide by what the city is asking us to do. But meanwhile, I've got five women that are out of work, sitting at home without a place to work right now. So I'm happy to comply. I'm happy to do whatever we can. We're trying to get this done as quickly as possible, but I'm just asking that we do something, a conditional use permit, whatever we've got to do to get these five women back in this building and back to work.
Thank you very much for your comment.
Hello, Colleen Kubel, candidate for City Council. I would like to touch on two topics tonight. One is Mr. Johnson. We have talked before many times about making the planning department user-friendly, business-friendly. And what we just heard from him of what happened to him with the officers there, red tagging, things like that, is not a user-friendly action. It is a forced action. It could have been handled so many other ways that would have been public relations oriented, and it should never happen to a business in this city. And so we really need to think about giving the businesses the benefit of the doubt. He needs to follow through. He needs to keep his employees busy, and we need to make sure that the city can get him a conditional use permit. He's planning on doing everything he needs to do. Put conditions on it, put time limits on it, whatever you need. He's got employees he needs to keep busy, and he's got his wife who is a part of his income also. So that's one topic. Next topic is Francisco's. It's been almost a month since the plans, corrective plans, have been put back into the city. Haven't heard anything. Now we're getting to a point where he's going to have to do extreme measures because he has to be out of his present building December 31st. This is totally, totally ridiculous that it's taken this long. and the architect is the one who put the plans back in. Everything's been done the way the city wants it. There is no excuse for another 4 weeks after the corrections had been done and turned back in for this. We need to look at that again, and both situations, we need to make it user-friendly. We need to have this city want these businesses and make it easy for them to get in here and do what they need to do to help our city. It's for our benefit just as well as theirs. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Hill, council members. I'm Jill Stearns. I'm the superintendent president of Cuesta College, and I just wanted to come and introduce myself. And I feel very much like I am at home. We owned a home in Grover Beach on Naples, and our backyard neighbor was your facilities yard. And so we were as close to Arroyo Grande as you could possibly be without being inside the city limits. But I am just very pleased with the relationship that Cuesta College has had with Arroyo Grande High School for decades, and our opportunity to use their facilities to offer classes for the community. And I look forward to working with you as we are exploring other options for expansion and being able to serve South County in new ways. So thank you very much.
Thank you and welcome. We're glad to have you.
Oh, and thanks for the Cuesta pantry. My kid's a freshman.
Good evening, council and staff. My name's Dan Ferreira. I own a couple different building and manufacturing companies in the county here. I wanted to bring your attention a project at the address 741 Castillo del Mar. This is in the Heights of Del Mar. This is the very first project of that development that's ready to break ground, permit number 18-92. Quick background, property owner here tonight, Dr. and Mrs. Slimak, purchased the property in 2016, February of 2016, applied for the ARC in July of 2017, and were approved in August of 2017. Building permits were submitted in March of 2018. The first plan check revision took almost 10 weeks, and that was multiple follow-ups. And that's something across the county, as I deal with projects, should be 4 weeks maximum, and that's what the city advertises. No apologies made, building permit. Second submittal went back in on 6/26/18 and came out on 9/4, 10 weeks for a second submittal on a single family residence. In order to facilitate the city of AG's backlog of projects, we suggested that they split it and give us a grading permit while they worked through the building. We were verbally and written told we'd have that grading permit for 2 weeks straight, that it'd be tomorrow, to the point where we would stop by the city and wait for it and whatnot. It's presently, we do not have the permit, and basically the day that we were told it would be issued, we were then given alternate news that the city attorney had piped in and said they would not be issuing permits on this development at this time, which is contra to 9 months of written and oral assurance that we would be given permits would be issued on this. We understand that there are some issues between the developer and the city. When the project was purchased by my client, it was purchased as a fully entitled and buildable lot. That's what they purchased. There are some ongoing issues with the developer, we understand that, but they should not affect the entitlement and legal ability to build this lot. We were forced to sign a waiver at the last minute when submitting our plans. It says that we understand that there were issues with the developer that could affect our permit issuance. We then followed up for 6 months straight and received written correspondence saying that they would issue permits and would potentially look at the certificate of occupancy as a way to hold back the developer accountable. The developer, if there are issues with the developer, I know the city building and planning department have bonds. They have all sorts of ways they can deal with him, but holding hostage private citizens' ability to build on a lot that they've almost owned for 3 years is really not appropriate. And so we're asking the council to look into this issue and work with staff to go ahead and follow through on what they've already said they would do for 6 months straight in writing, and that's issue our permit and not hold it hostage while they deal with the issues of the developer. Nothing of the issues with the developer have to do with the lot in question. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Mayor Hill, City Council, and staff. My name is Christina Slimak, And most of you I know because I've been up here a couple times when we were dealing with a potential neighbor. We purchased the lot that Mr. Ferraro was just mentioning. It's been almost 3 years. My husband and I purchased it when we moved here from Chicago. My husband is a physician at both Marion and Arroyo Grande. So he supports this community day in and day out, and we have built a home here with our two young daughters who are 5 and 7. We have now been in our rental for over 5 years, 3 years waiting to build this home. The frustration is obvious. I will say that this city, Teresa McClish, has been phenomenal. She's met with us twice. And at the end of the day, we have purchased land that we cannot sell because it's not buildable. And we don't want to sell it. We want to build our house and make a home here. But with that being said, there's been massive issues with the developer. Everybody's aware of it. So my question is, we're not getting anywhere with the developer. And there are several other lot owners like us who are also being held hostage. Our damages are mounting by the day between, you know, money paid for the taxes on the property, money paid to our architect, our builder, to the city for permits, which we, you know, pray every day we're going to get. And at the end of the day, my question is, how do we move forward if the developer is not cooperating? He isn't agreeing to complete the work that is remaining that the city needs completed. I don't have any confidence he's going to complete that. He's already being sued and in a lawsuit with Rice Ranch Trilogy in Napomo for a very similar situation where apparently he abandoned the project. Again, this is all just in the news. You know, bankruptcy. I just don't think he's going anywhere. For all we know, he has no intention of completing this. He called his representative, Jason Blankenship, called me last week. I did not return his call because I don't want to go down that road with them. But their response was, after they heard about what happened with the permits, that they're going to sue the city. So the city and the developer are going like this, and we're the citizens, the taxpayers, who are caught in the middle. So I'm asking the mayor and the council to step in and find a solution. The obvious solution would be to exercise the bond and to complete the work with those funds. I was told, I don't know if it's accurate, that the remaining work is somewhere in the range of $30,000. That's not a lot of money for a developer, so hopefully maybe the bond could cover that. But if there's anything you could do, we would greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to comment?
Hi, good evening. Planning Commissioner Terry Fowler Payne, running for City Council. Get the plug in there. You know, I've been the last 2 months seeing signs everywhere, and I'm just up to here with signs. So I guess I'm here because I wanted to bring it to your attention that the sign ordinance is not being followed, and that if you look at your ordinance number 1660.0501, the exempt signs, and you read the article where the 4 foot or the 6 square foot signs aren't to be any greater than 4 feet in height. That means they're supposed to be, and that was measured from the ground. And there's many signs around that are exceeding that, 2 to 3 feet up before the sign even shows up from the ground. If this is my concern, and I don't care about the signs, but my concern is, if you're not able to follow the ordinance guidelines for the sign permit, how are you going to follow the ordinance guidelines if you get in a position where you have control over that? And so I'd like to see something done about those signs, but that's, like I said, that's not my main issue. It's let's make sure we vote for the right person who doesn't have their signs up on stilts. And the other thing is, there's a requirement to be 660 feet away from the highway. I noticed there's one on traffic way exit on the freeway, which is probably not even 60 feet away from the highway. So with that, I'd just like to bring it to everyone's attention. And if you're the responsible person with those signs that are out of the ordinance guideline, maybe you'll get out there and remove them or bring them into compliance. And, you know, if you're saying that your campaign committee wasn't aware of that, that's falls on deaf ears, because you also got this paperwork in your packet when you signed up. And that when you signed for that, you signed to be responsible, whether you put them up yourself or you had somebody put them up. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Anyone else like to comment? Okay, hearing none, let me ask the staff to comment on a couple of the issues. First, the comments about Berry Gardens. Is that something that the Planning Commission can look at in terms of the access and egress from the proposed commercial property there?
We're going to get your Community Development Director, Teresa McClish, to answer that question, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. The commercial portion of the Cortland and Grand project is an entitled project. It went through discretionary review and approval through the Planning Commission and council. And at that time, the traffic circulation and study was reviewed. Environmental impact was also reviewed as part of that approval. There are driveways on the Grand Avenue frontage as well as the Cortland frontage. The Cortland frontage does allow cars to egress and get to the intersection at Cortland and Grand and to make their left or right turns. But without going too much into the project, I'll probably just stop there.
Thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up, please? Teresa, normally we would look at that when a project would be coming through, and there's been whispers about projects there, but we don't really know what's going on. Do you have any idea of when we might see a project there that we might be able to look at a little more carefully at all those impacts?
Yeah, and it's been quite a while, but it actually is an approved project. It was already the building architecture and size and uses in terms of commercial use were approved. And so anybody can come down to City Hall. We can show the plans of what's approved to be located there. As regards to who and when it might be built, I'm hearing a lot of things as well. I believe it's transferring hands, and it's my understanding that they want to pursue building the commercial frontage imminently.
And Teresa, so the circulation plan, that was already approved?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next item then would be Mr. Johnson's concern with the salon. Is there something that we can do to help the business locate or comply with our regulations?
There's a lot of details that I think are left out. We have a short amount of time to talk about things here, but essentially staff is always trying to be helpful and to get people through a process. Mr. Johnson remodeled that entire building inside, built an entire salon without seeking a building permit. We're unable to inspect electrical, plumbing, ventilation systems, ADA, and we know he wants to get people working. We understand that. But we also have a responsibility to make sure that buildings that people go into unknowingly are safe. And we find ourselves in a situation where it is difficult. We have a stack of 38 plans, and in that is Francisco's, number 14 on that list. As a person who's trying to be fair to everyone and to be reasonable, I don't see how I could put Mr. Johnson's plans on top of everyone else who's followed the rules. And I want to. I really want to get his people working. But I also have to think about the other people in that stack who also want to get their people working and to finish their projects that are important to them. So we did ask Mr. Johnson, and he's been very cooperative and understanding, but we couldn't promise him that we would give him expedited service on it. We have his plans in hand now, and we have now a full staff. As you see, we've introduced our new assistant engineer. We have a new assistant planner. We have a full department, and we're trying to work through all of these issues and get everyone working. And fairness is a big part of that. And I don't mean to bring things up like this at meetings like this. We try to be helpful, but at some time we also have to be honest and be bold when we talk about our service and how we're trying to help everyone. So that's my response to that.
And then finally, Mr. Ferrara in the Vista Del Mar issue.
Yeah, so I'll start, and hopefully Teresa could help out a little bit. Vista Del Mar is a huge anomaly as a project in our city. It started off as an approval in the county with many conditions of approval. The property was annexed into the city of Arroyo Grande. We took those approvals, started to work with it. There's a myriad of conditions that have to take place on that project, trying to meet state regulations. We sympathize with the people who have bought properties, and we know it's painful how long it's taken. We have spent an enormous amount of staff time trying to get all of these conditions and all of these basic responsibilities of a developer completed. And there are big issues that could affect every taxpayer in the city of Arroyo Grande when it comes to stormwater, when it comes to how we treat water that runs off that property, when it comes to accepting roadways that we all are going to be responsible forever, when it comes to making sure that easements for stormwater facilities are all clear. And quite frankly, it's hard. And up to this point, we've had Robin, who has been dealing with this since she's been here over a year. I do think that we are very, very close. And people have probably heard that for a long time, and they're tired of hearing it, and it doesn't mean things. We have recently sent a letter to Mr. Blankenship of the, I believe it's three last things on the list that he has to do. And we have tentatively marked for November 13th to accept the improvements for Vista Del Mar. But it's really up to the developer to finish those things off. Calling a bond is not as easy as you think it is. There's a lot that goes into it, and then you end up as a city responsible for doing all that work. So unless, you know, maybe Teresa could add a little bit more to it. It pains me when people come and they're not satisfied with the process. I just think that this is a pretty big anomaly, and it's been very challenging, and I think we're very, very close. And we're gonna do everything to get it on November 13th if the developer finishes up those three items through the letter.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other comment or questions?
You answered my questions, actually.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Okay, moving on then to the consent agenda. Would anyone like to consider anything on the consent agenda separately?
Yes, D and E.
9D and 9E.
No.
Anything?
No.
Okay. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda items? Those are all of the items numbered 9, which is 9A through 9F. And we'll be considering 9D and E separately, but if you have a comment on those, you're welcome to come up and comment on any of the items on the consent agenda, all the numbered 9 items. Okay. Hearing none.
Mr. Mayor, I would move for approval of items 9A through
through 9F, with the exception of 9D and 9E.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the consent agenda with the exception of 9D and 9E. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Ray?
Yes.
And Mayor Hill?
Yes. Moving then to 9D.
I'm sure it's obvious the reason I've pulled both of these is because I did not support the ordinance to get rid of the three committees, and both of these are items related to getting rid of those three committees. So if someone else, I don't need to have discussion, I'm just pulling it for separate consideration.
Move approval of 9D.
Do you want to include 9E as well?
And 9E as well.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve 9D and E. 9E is an ordinance, and I'll ask the city attorney to please read the title of the ordinance.
An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande making administrative updates to various sections of Title II, Administration and Personnel, Title X, Vehicles and Traffic, Title 12, Streets, Sidewalks, and Public Places, and Title 16, Development Code of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code.
Thank you very much. It's been moved and seconded. We approve that. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Ray?
No.
And Mayor Hill?
Yes. Item passes 3-1 with one absent. This evening we have no public hearings. We have no old business. Item 12 is new business, and I'll ask the city clerk to please introduce item 12A.
Item 12A is consideration of a request from a developer to provide sewer service from the city of Arroyo Grande to a three-unit residential project in the city of Grover Beach.
And Mr. Bergman and Mr. Robeson.
Turn it over to Bill.
Good evening. I am Bill Robeson. I'm your public works director. And I'd like to talk with you about a kind of a unique request that we've had. It's consideration of a request from a developer within the city of Grover Beach to have the city of Arroyo Grande provide sewer service. And I will get into it in just a moment. But I'd like to give you a little bit of background and get you oriented on where the project is for those who are listening and the public. So we are on South Oak Park. Let me see if I can. South Oak Park is going north to south, Manhattan Avenue and Seabright in within the city of Grover Beach. And then you can see the subject property outlined in yellow. And the red dashed line is the city limits. So the city of Arroyo Grande is obviously to the east, and it has a light blue hatching over it. This is an assessor's parcel map just to kind of show you the lot layouts in the general area. This blue area that you see is an alley, and that's kind of the area we're going to be talking about for a little while, and where the work is going to be done if approved. So you can see Cranberry curves around here to Blackberry, and this piece of property fronts on both sides on Blackberry and Oak Park. This is a view looking down Blackberry. So we have one residence under construction. These are single family homes. There'll be three once again. They stack towards Oak Park. This is obviously a garage framed in, and we'll have access off of Blackberry. The other two homes will have access off of Oak Park. This is a shot looking down, so you can see that this is the back of the house we just looked at. I'm standing kind of off the sidewalk on Oak Park, and the other two homes will be on this kind of linear piece of property. So now I'd like to kind of get into some locations. I pointed out the manhole. You can see it in that kind of paver area. And that's where the main sewer connection is going to be. It is within the city of Arroyo Grande. It's about 20 feet from this property. And this is the engineered track map that we were using for locations, easements, etc. And again, the property's here in yellow. This is the alleyway we've been looking at, and the manhole is right in this location. To give you another point of reference, the manhole that the developer would have to normally go to within the city of Grover Beach is highlighted here in yellow. So they'd have to go across a pretty large section of street of Oak Park and then come down and tie into the manhole on Manhattan. This is kind of highlighting the easements. So there are easements, public utility easements already existing. So it's a relatively easy process to get those sewer laterals coming up the side of this property line and then hooked into this manhole as well on inside the city limits of Arroyo Grande. I won't get too deep into this, but these are the conditions that our municipal code requires us to take a look at and requires the developer to abide by. So the first one is detailed calculations need to be submitted by the applicant. And those have been reviewed by staff. They're engineered calculations. I'll show those in just a moment, but I'll go over these really briefly. The South County Sanitation District has issued a will serve permit, or will serve letter, excuse me, for this property on October 2nd. And I should probably say, I think most of us know, but maybe not all of us know, that the sanitation district is the final destination for the city of Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and the community of Oceano's effluent and sewer discharge. So we're all kind of tied to that South County Sanitation District, but we each have our own separate sewer systems. The connection fees, et cetera, will be paid by the applicant. He's fully aware that those will need to be paid. And he's also aware that we're gonna be having full cost recovery on staff time that is already been used and upcoming staff time dealing with any types of easement documents and dealing with LAFCO. The second to the last line, a D, is just stating that if there are more than one residence that are going to be served by or being requested to be served by an outside sewer connection, that that your city council needs to approve that. And that's why we're here tonight. And lastly, the city of Grover Beach did hear this. Their city council approved this request on October 1st of this year. So this is the document. It has about 6 or 7 pages of calculations with it and section drawings. The city engineer, myself, and our public utilities manager, our utilities manager, excuse me, have reviewed those calculations. And if you can think of it, the short distance to our main line really makes it somewhat easy to tie in. And there really is a negligible amount of sewer coming from those three homes and going into our system and then going to that final destination of the South County Sanitary District. So the calculations were relatively easy to look at, and we agreed with the engineer on his conclusion that there would be negligible impacts on our system. This is the South County Sanitation District will serve letter, and it really just states that they're willing to serve each of the homes sewer, and the capacity of the wastewater treatment plant is not in question at all with the addition of these homes. So this is a kind of a next step diagram. It's showing that the city of Grover Beach approved the project. There's a will serve letter. The calcs are showing additional sewer flows, and those have been approved. The next step, obviously, is tonight to get our city of Oro Grande to approve this request or not. LAFCO would be the next step if approval takes place tonight. Their meeting is in early November, and then we would confirm that all fees were paid up to the point of all the work that we've done and spent time on this project so far. And then the last portion is the application process. So there would be an application coming in to do the utilities improvements that have been requested. So I have one more slide. It just kind of shows some financial revenue. It's not a lot. So I just broke it down, and the sanitation district connection fee for each home, they get about $2,475 for each home, and the city of Oro Grande gets a little over $1,000. So we would be getting about $3,252 in revenue from that connection fee. I believe the developers paid connection fees in the city of Grover Beach, and they've acknowledged that those would be refunded if this process is successful. So they're really not large amounts of money. The small revenue increases at the bottom show kind of what our sewer fees are in conjunction with the South County Sanitary District. Obviously, they get a large bulk of those fees, and we get the amounts of 5 years, we'd be making about $1,500, $1,600 on sewer fees, 10 years, a little over $3,000. That concludes my presentation, and I can answer any questions you have.
Questions? I have some. Kristen, Mayor Pro Tem?
Mm-hmm. Can you put the initial slide that showed the overhead?
Sure.
That one,
yes.
Yeah. Can I use the little pointer, please? So this is pavement right here, right?
Sorry. Yes, that's a paved alleyway, yes.
So does the HOA maintain that pavement?
Yes, it does.
So do they need to sign off on that, or do they just trench right under it and it's not going to have an impact?
Well, I think they're going to be able to trench right under it. Mr. Bischoff is here.
Oh, good.
He can answer that question a little bit more. I posed the question to him, so it's not blindsiding him, but... there might be a little bit of pavement breaking out or broken pavement to get some of the sewer line in, but I'll let him answer that question. The other part of that is he will need to get, and if that occurs, he'll need to get easements that don't cover any portion of that alleyway.
And then this was, because we were contacted a while back, the original proposal was to come back this way and cut into the city's pavement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of like a nice way to do this differently, right?
Is it?
I think initially I was under the impression, without real knowledge, that he would have to go into our city street that has been paved and that development is pretty much completed, and that was my concern, to avoid that. And I think Mr. Bischoff saw that there is a manhole close that was already stubbed out, thinking of the future to go to this project, and when I saw that, it became a kind of a different situation.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. Part of our municipal code has a liability and hold harmless clause, and then another one is that all sewer construction within the city conform with the uniform code, and how are we proposing to enforce those aspects of our code that apply within the city limits, and we don't have any jurisdiction outside the city limits? And one of them is prohibited discharges. How would that be enforced, which is, for example, don't dump gasoline and dangerous materials down your drain, which would enter into the sewer from the city of Grover Beach, but not be covered by the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code that deals with those types of issues. And then right of entry is another one where the Public Works Director within the city has the right of entry to inspect, for example, prohibited discharges, but I don't know that that carries through into the city of Grover Beach. I doubt that it would. So how do we propose to meet that, and then how would the billing be handled?
The enforcement issues that you're talking about, we can have a reciprocal agreement with the city of Grover Beach so that we can go on the property, or we can ask them to check out any issues that are occurring. So we can have that drawn up. We are indemnifying ourselves, et cetera. So we're going to be meeting with the city of Grover Beach a little bit more, their city attorney, to make sure, and our city attorney, to make sure that we're covering all of those aspects.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there public comment on this item?
I have a follow-up question.
Mayor Pro Tem has a question.
In terms of the interface between Grover and Arroyo Grande, in terms of this, isn't that all going to get covered in the LAFCO process?
It does get covered more in the LAFCO process, thank you. They look at those details a little bit more, the sphere of influence issues, enforcement issues, but we'll be part of that as well, so we'll make sure that that's covered.
But typically, since this property is within the city of Grover Beach, we're not proposing to annex it. We don't give water service there. It would be specifically for the sewer connection.
Yes, thank you. Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, again, is there any public comment on the item? Please.
I guess I'll start. Hi, my name is Paul Bischoff. I'm the builder on this property, and a couple of points that I'd make. One is, obviously, I've never done this before, had reciprocal agreements and that sort of thing, but I would imagine that we could enter it on the parcel map when that's recorded. Some permission, since my company owns the property now, I could agree to whatever that was required in that regard, and then future folks that they would see the map and they would know that they're agreeing to the city of Arroyo Grande entering the property or something along those lines. We could have that wording added too, because there's a ton of text on the first page of a parcel map, so that could definitely be done. Just a clarification, and I think Mr. Robeson hit on it, there from the manhole to the property, there's already a 6-inch sewer line. And whoever did the development for Berry Gardens and the Brambles totally had this in mind, that sewer was going to, the Arroyo Grande system was going to serve this lot. Whether they were doing it correctly or not, there is a 6-inch line that goes to the property line. So having to trench from the property to that manhole, that's not an issue. There's already a line there. And so I'd just be connecting to the already present 6-inch line.
And have you already interfaced with the HOA over there?
We've talked a little bit, not about this specific detail, so yeah, I could definitely hit them up and see what would be required at that point. But yeah, I'm anticipating that it's all the way to the curb and there won't be any, have to touch any of the paving, but totally acknowledge that if there is, you know, 5 feet of paving or something, it would truly be a repave and not just a cold patch shoddy kind of thing. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so you're, just to be clear, that the existing line is from the manhole, pretty much where it says approximately 20 feet?
That's correct.
That there's an existing 6-inch line there?
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Do you have any questions while I'm here, or I can sit down and come back?
No, I don't.
No questions.
Okay, thank you.
Don't think we have any more. Is there any other comment on this proposal? Okay, hearing none, we'll come back to the council for any discussion. Councilmember Barnage.
Thank you. I'm ready to move forward with this. My questions were answered in the very thorough staff report. Initially, when I was contacted and sort of chatted with staff, there was a different assumption what was going to have to be tore up in the city of Arroyo Grande. And this is a much better scenario, and so I appreciate staff looking into it and thinking a little bit outside the box so that it can be a little bit more of a reasonable solution. So I'm ready to move forward. Thank you.
Yes, Mayor Pro Tem?
I would say the same.
Ditto.
Ditto again. So would someone like to make a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the item as presented. May we have a roll call, please?
Do you want me to read that for the record, that what that is?
Yes.
So the recommendation was to approve a request from Bischoff Homes Incorporated to allow the city of Aurora Grande to provide sewer service to a 3-unit residential development project within the city of Grover Beach, direct staff to complete the outside user agreement, and authorize the city manager to execute the agreement for submittal to the local agency formation commission, LAFCO, and authorize the city manager to execute other documents as required with the city of Grover Beach for easements and other associated agreements in a form approved by the city attorney.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
And Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Ray?
Yes.
And Mayor Hill?
Yes. Passes 4-0 with one absent. Moving on then to city council reports, I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting. The new newly refurbished digester number 1 in the primary treatment train is back in service and meeting all discharge requirements for the wastewater treatment discharge. However, they've had a problem with the relief valve on the top of the digester. And one of the flanges there is leaking a bit and may be in violation of air pollution control district requirements. So they're looking at ways to seal the flange around that relief valve. Hopefully that'll be taken care of in the very near future. But the digester is up and running well, and the discharge numbers show that the plant is operating well and in conformance with the permit. They also received a new draft NPDS permit renewal that has been anticipated for a long time. That draft permit is with the district now. The district staff is commenting on it and will get back to the Regional Water Quality Control Board. They have, as near as I'm able to determine, very little to comment on, and it looks like that new permit will supersede the old one, which is technically expired already, but the new permit then will enable them to continue going forward. And then the other thing was the board had asked for a procedure for brine handling, because the district receives brine from entities such as water softener treatment facilities, and they produce brine as part of their process to make sure that the sampling and everything is in conformance with the discharge requirements. So that was done with a couple of checklists. We asked for a formal procedure to make sure that all of those discharge requirements are met. There was that was kind of in response to an issue where the discharger who is responsible for compliance had brought it in a truck that had been previously filled with petroleum product. So fortunately, our staff, being diligent, sampled that, detected the presence of the petroleum project, and turned the truck back to the originator, and did not violate the permit on that. But as a result of that issue, we wanted to see a full procedure, and that's been presented, and it's looking good. So that's the report from the Sanitation District, and Mayor Pro Tem.
CJPIA has not met. CAPSLO did meet, nothing germane to Aurora Grande, and Tourism Marketing Committee, unfortunately, I was stuck at the DMV yesterday, so I'm going to turn that over to Jim to let us know what happened at that meeting yesterday.
Sure, just a background. The TBID is doing a great job. They are functioning. They are working with the contracted marketing firm to build this year's marketing effort. The TBID board was looking at whether or not to authorize money to start with a rebranding of Aurora Grande as a destination, and they voted to spend, I believe it's $12,850 on that effort. That is all within the current budget that your council has approved. And unfortunately, I wasn't stuck at the DMV, but I had another meeting, so I left early. But again, I think the TBID is functioning great, and I'm sure you, as much as I do, appreciate those volunteers who care about our community, really wants to see tourists come here to Aurora Grande, spend the night in our hotels, and really kind of be jealous of the life that we get to live every day. So thank you.
That's my report.
Okay. Councilmember Brown.
Thank you. Just a few things. SLOCOG met, and we're on track to get the regional transportation plan geared up for a draft February of 2019. We approved pursuing freeway express truck service for three segments. Tow truck service, that's for people that get broke down on the road. And it's particularly important around Pismo Shell Beach area. And then we approved $50,000 for a volunteer driver program to help people that need drivers to get different locations. So that's my report, other than to say whoever's going to sit on the Integrated Waste Management Board and the South County Transit, I didn't have anything to report there. But either one of those two boards, it's important, I think, that you immediately call the directors for both of those agencies and have a sit-down meeting so that you can get caught up. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that you need to know about, and I'll just leave it at that. So just take the time and effort to call, sit down with those people. It'll be well worth the time. And those are my reports. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Barnage.
Thank you. Zone 3 Water Advisory Board did not meet. The HSOC, Homeless Services Oversight Council, the full HSOC did not meet, but the executive board did meet and just gave more information on the HEAP funds, which is that grant that's coming from the state surplus to the county for homeless services, homeless housing, between 4.8 and 5.5 million. Going to be allocated to the county relatively quickly, needs to be spent quickly. The forum for South County is November 7th at 6 p.m. at the South County Regional Center, and the county will be there going over what the state funding entails, and what they're looking for is feedback from the community members, what we think we need, what all of us think we need in South County to address the homeless issues. They'll have a survey which is available already online. It takes 5 minutes. I uploaded it to my city council Facebook page, so you can take it right there. There's a link. There's no link, actually. The address is there, though. I'm going to put a link up. And it's really important if you can take it, if you can forward it to anybody in the South County, Pismo, Grover, Oceano, AG, we have an opportunity here to possibly get $1 million, $2 million into our South County to address homelessness. And I think that if we don't show up, if we don't get engaged, if we don't tell them what we want, we're not going to get what we want. So please take part in that. I hope that the city staff from all the cities in the South County, as well as the councils, will be at that forum to show that we're engaged.
Two questions, maybe for Jim. Jim, first of all, can we put that survey on the homepage for the city page?
You beat me to it. I was just going to talk to Kelly and send her an email and get that on there.
And then and social media, too. I might have asked Absolutely. Jessica. Oh, I think I asked Jessica to do that.
If you asked her, it'll be on there.
Right. It's probably already there.
That's right.
Secondly, because the councils are being asked to come, do we need to notice that meeting?
Okay. We will talk with the city clerk and the city attorney and figure that out.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sorry. Did you have something to say about that, Heather?
I was just talking to Kelly, but excuse me. As long as it's a public, it's a meeting being held by another public entity that's open to the public, then it's okay for the council to attend as long as they don't sit together and discuss city business amongst themselves in any way.
But if they're asking for input, that's what I was worried about.
You can participate in the event, you just can't, in the public forum of it, you just can't have your own dialogue. But we can look into it, and if we think that we need to agendize it as a council meeting, we'll do that as well.
Okay. And it might be, I asked about the format at the executive meeting, and they were still coming up with that, but I believe it's going to be a presentation by the county. They'll have the information on the survey that's really important, and there's a lot of, you can ask questions. But we can really just, we can sit and listen. I think it's good to just, we want to know what our citizens think we should do. I think that's more of the format, maybe.
Okay.
And then the only other item is this Saturday from 10 to 11:30 in the council chambers here, we'll have the teens helping seniors with tech. And we have a really good turnout. We have about 35 seniors who have RSVP'd. But I do need teens, so if you know a teen that needs community service hours, have them email me or just show up at 10 a.m. on Saturday here. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Harmon's not here this evening, so hopefully she'll have her reports at the next meeting. Brings us to council communications.
I just have a quick one. I wanted to express my appreciation to Mr. Bergman for the way he handled the comments tonight about different projects. It's important that, as uncomfortable as it is, that we tell people we can't play favorites and we got to play by the rules. That's important. So I know that's not comfortable for you, but we appreciate it. So thank you.
Thank you. And we're just trying to give good service to everyone, and we do struggle with it and try, and we will continue to have that passion and that ideology of trying to be helpful to people.
Okay. I did get a comment from a real estate person about picking up their signs, and hopefully we're as accommodating as we can. I've noticed some political signs in rights of ways and so forth, so I hope that we're even-handed and that we're being as flexible as we can for real estate signs.
So the one night I was all ready for my city manager report, we skipped it, but that's okay. I don't want to keep the meeting longer than ever. But one of the items I was going to talk about is building relationships and making sure that our current relationships are good. I did have a meeting with the Pismo Coast Association of Realtors. We talked about signs, and I think we all have a little bit better understanding, and we are all trying to work within the Constitution of the United States, these very black and white rules that they give us, and we are trying to inject reasonableness and common sense and fairness in that, and it's going to be kind of an iterative process, but I think we're at least communicating, and we'll get there.
Great, thank you, and I appreciate your working with them on that, because I know that's been kind of one of the top of their list items of concern. So thank you, and thank you to the staff for dealing with that.
Anything else in your report, Jim?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
I kind of like to hear it.
All right. So at the October 9th meeting, Mayor Pro Tem Ray requested that Bo provide some statistical data to the council and Ms. Welsh about traffic tickets on WASNA. So the police chief provided this with to me. In 2018, there has been a total of 3 non-injury traffic collisions on Wasna Road, at Wasna and Clarence, Wasna and Fired Loomis, and Wasna and Stanley. So again, those were all non-injuries. Also, when I look back at long-term data, this is very consistent with what we've seen over the last 10 years about, you know, 1, 2, or 3 accidents a year on Wasna Road, and all of them have been non-injuries. There was no fatal accidents within our city limits. I believe there was a bicycle fatality out on Wasna that was further in the county. There's been no citations for speed on Wasna and no citations for stop sign violations on Wasna Road. However, the police chief says that they'll be implementing the following measures. Radar trailer has been placed on Wasna Road near the intersection of La Cresta. There'll be routine extra patrols by on-duty staff in between handling calls for service. There's going to be future placement of electronic signboard with a safety message. And as soon as we get our speed surveys, we'll be up to using our new LiDAR system to enforce that. Also, I know that Robin, the police chief, and Bill Robeson, the public works director, has went out and looked at freshening up the road markings on Wasna, also on 227 right near Gilardi, and also on Grace Lane. So there's already stuff out there, but they start to get faded or worn off. So I think kind of a fresh painting of that will help remind people. The second part of my report would be strengthening relationships. The last couple of weeks since you met last, I attended a city managers forum and retreat where all the city managers in this county, as well as the city manager from Santa Maria, as well as a whole bunch of important kind of business development stakeholders, met and talked about regional issues such as housing, transportation systems. It's always it's a hard thing to do, to get everyone to give up a day to get together and talk, but I feel it was really positive and really some great leadership from Wade Horton, who's the county CAO, and Jim Lewis, who's the city manager at Pismo Beach, as well as all my peers. I'm pretty lucky to be in that group of pretty smart people, and I'm definitely in awe of those people I get to work with. Also, in this idea of strengthening relationships, I met along with Sheridan with representatives of the Five Cities Girls Softball. They're the group that talked about having some financial difficulties in raising more money as our fees have increased. So we're trying to find a way that we might be able to work with them to help them raise money and cover those costs for the year. The police chief and I met with representatives from the county behavioral health, and we talked about our already established policies throughout the county of when we have a person who's in a mental health crisis and they are contacted by our police department, they get to the emergency department to be treated, and then they need to go to another facility for their final care. So we went through all that policies, and really it's about making sure that we're communicating and we get together every so often. So I felt very positive about that. Met with Parkside homeowners who are the ones who are talking about, we have an assessment district there. They certainly have their levels of expectation. So Bill and I were able to meet with representatives there, and they all seem to be really good people, and we're all just, you know, it shows that we're talking and spending the time is really a positive thing. Continuing work in the coming up week, we will be talking about Central Coast Blue, Five Cities Fire Authority discussion with the managers continuing to go on. Kristen mentioned the Homeless Task Force meeting, which is this Thursday. And I had one other item, which is customer service. So on our front page of our website is now the customer portal, where it's a new citizen permit portal. So if you go to that, you can Online services are business licensing, building and engineering permits, planning permits, and people are also able to check on their project status of where they are in the queue. So I think that's a very positive effort that we're trying to show that we are getting back up to staff, and we're really trying to give good service. And definitely Matt Downing always is someone who needs a shout out. I know of all the other things that he's doing, he also managed this project of getting this portal up and running. So we'd love it if people use it. And if you find any glitches or ideas for improvement, please let us know since it is pretty brand new to us. So that's my report.
I have a quick question on that.
Yes, yes,
don't ma'am. We have an online, the temporary sign permit thing too? Should we put that into that portal?
Okay, I'll see what we can do.
Just having all the permits all in the same spot?
Sounds like a smart idea. We'll see if we can get on it.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. One last comment is a week from tomorrow is Halloween, so we would ask everyone who's out on Halloween evening to please drive carefully and look out for younger individuals who may be wearing dark clothing, perhaps, and may not be as careful as they otherwise would. So just a reminder to please take it easy out there on Halloween. Look out for kids, trick-or-treaters, and ghosts and goblins.
That's right. And there is Halloween in the village this year on Halloween Day. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact time. It seems like it starts around 3, 4, something like that. So as the mayor said, to be careful. But we also have the Halloween Carnival and Haunted Maze, which is on October 27th at Elm Street Park. Very fun for the family and also very frightening too. So make sure you know which line you're getting into, because they do a great job on that. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Any closing comments or suggestions?
Mr. Olson. Robert Olson, and I apologize, I should have mentioned this during community comments, so hopefully this is still appropriate. As many people have read, recently in Sacramento, our masters, as I like to call them, have passed two laws that have been signed by the governor. All I know about them is what I've read in the newspapers, so I hope I'm accurate about this. One of them, in essence, says that cities may not forbid sleeping on city property, that ordinances and whatnot that forbids sleeping on city property will be, whenever this goes into effect, null and void. The second one is that it will be no longer be allowed to require permits for sidewalk vendors. You no longer can require them to get a permit. That's all I've read in the newspaper. Two new laws signed by the governor. I would ask that the council and staff verify that my impressions are correct, and if so, to discuss them at a future council meeting with regard to the impacts they might have here in Arroyo Grande. Thank you.
Thank you. I've heard similar reports. Any others?
Just a real quick question. You didn't get talked about.
You need to come up to the mic so the people at home can hear you.
I didn't hear any discussion on item 13C4, the Briscoe Interchange.
There was no meeting.
Okay. So that was on the agenda just to say that there was no meeting?
We have, well, it's on every second meeting we have to have council reports and whether we have a meeting or not.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Those are on the agenda, as Councilmember Brown mentioned, because each of us serve on the various committees that are listed here, but those committees don't always meet, so they're on the agenda. They're always on the agenda, whether they meet or not. As Mayor Pro Tem mentioned, the CJPIA, which typically meets once a year, but they're on there so that if there was a meeting, we could discuss it.
When you see item 13, that's just the chance for council members to inform other council members of what they're doing. They're not really public items that are coming forward.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
Mr. Mayor, if you'd like, I could comment on the two laws that were, or the two items that the gentleman referred to. Yes. The first one he referred to as a new law, I believe he's referring to a new case that came out, which is Martin versus City of Boise. And it is a new case that discusses camping, and it does hold that you can't cite someone for sleeping in public because that's cruel and unusual punishment. And it is impacting how we administer our camping ordinance. We discussed it a little bit when we talked about the shelter crisis. So we are aware of that, and we're working with the police department on that. The second item is a new law that was signed by the governor regarding sidewalk vendors that we have a currently a mobile vending ordinance on the books that includes sidewalk carts. So we've been working again with the police department. We will be revising our code as a result of this new law. You can still require a permit for sidewalk vendors, but it's there's new rules and regulations of which our code doesn't currently satisfy. So we will be looking at revising that ordinance as well.
Thank you for the update. Mr. Bergman, any other comment?
I've done enough talking tonight. Thank you.
Not at all. Okay, we have no closed session this evening, so we'll move to adjournment.